House Committee substitute for House Bill 17 is properly before us. Any objections? So heard. We'll move on. And Representative Lewis, and I believe Representative Brian, I don't see him, but he will, there he is, thank you, will present the bill. Representative Lewis, you have the floor.
Members, good morning, and thank you for being here today. I'd like to begin with a brief overview of the bill and to acknowledge that my colleagues have much more in-depth technical knowledge of this bill than I, and certainly our central staff will be available to answer more technical questions. This bill clarifies that the Superintendent of Public Instruction is the administrative head of the Department of Public Instruction. The governor does oversee all state agencies, but it doesn't make sense that the person elected by the people to oversee education is not able to really lead on education issues. Nothing changes on the State Board of Education. The bill clarifies that the General Assembly's constitutionally vested powers to confirm executive cabinet level appointments is maintained and reasserted. This respects the constitutionally mandated separation of powers between the branches of government. This bill acknowledges that the power vested in the General Assembly to appoint university trustees is also reasserted. Part one, we will restore the State Superintendent of Public Instruction's authority. For those that may be listening at home, and certainly the members of the media who are covering this, I would encourage you to review the way the Superintendent of Public Instruction office was structured prior to 1995. There may be some interesting stories to be written as to why the confusing conflict was created between the State Board and the Superintendent. This seeks to undo that. It makes clear that the Superintendent of Public Instruction, elected by the people, has the authority to make staffing decisions. Do they ring the bell three times or just twice? Okay. So, bottom line, part one treats the Superintendent of Public Instruction with the same basic authority that we vest in the other heads of the state agencies. Part one continued deals with employee status. I anticipate there'll be some inquiries on this. We have worked to modernize state government, and the high number of exemptions but not used by the current governor are being restored to a number and a level that is consistent with the authority granted to past administrations. I think with the chair's permission at this time, we'll pause now to see what the technical questions may be. And I'm going to ask Representative Bryan to please join us, and Representative Ross, if you'd like to aid me, or if the questions are directed at staff.
Thank you, Chairman Lewis. Questions from committee? Representative, I'm sorry, what's your last name? I don't see your tent. Jackson, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Lewis, we spent a good amount of time last night in caucus going over House Bill 17. It appears that the PCS is different from what was explained to us last night, and it would help me in trying to get through the bill if maybe staff could just point out the changes, and then that way I'll know exactly what I'm looking at.
Representative Lewis or Representative Ryan?
Mr. Chairman, I think it might be clearer if staff would speak to that.
Thank you.
Good morning. The change in the PCS is that it deletes what was part four of the bill, which dealt with the statewide classification and compensation system that is no longer in the PCS. There were not any changes to the other pieces of the bill dealing with the department or boards of trustees or the state personnel act.
Thank you, Representative Jackson. Any further questions? Comment, Representative Bryan.
Representative Jackson, to make one other point, there are a couple of amendments that will come, and just to highlight one because it may be an objection point, there's some language which I think Representative Stamm has an amendment for that provides that the superintendent would have power over the staffing of the state board personnel, and that is actually being taken back out via that amendment.
And just for information, we are going to hold the amendments to time we get through the process. So. Any further questions? Seeing none, Representative Lewis.
Mr. Chairman, I'll be happy to yield to any other inquiries, or we can move into the amendments at the chair's discretion.
Okay, we'll move on to the technical questions. Is there any other inquiries? Representative Carney.
Inquiry of the chair, or the bill sponsor, either one. You said, are there any other questions? Are we taking questions on the whole bill or just on your opening comments?
On the whole bill, ma'am. I thought that my opening, I tried to make the opening comments interesting enough to keep your attention, but not too long to get Representative Floyd to raise his hand to make a motion. So,
Representative Stamm, did I see your hand go up?
On this first section, I have two or three amendments. You want to do that now or wait till you finish talking?
We're going to make sure there's no more questions, then we'll move on. Representative Jackson.
Thank you, Mr.
Good morning. Chairman.
Good morning. Since we're going on the entire bill, can staff tell us how many positions are currently designated as exempt?
Would you repeat your question, Representative? I think your mouth was away from the microphone
a
little bit.
Could staff tell us how many positions are currently designated as exempt? I know it's probably a number less than 1,500, but what that number might be.
We're going to defer to fiscal staff, which is over in that back corner. I didn't see where they were.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Timothy Dell, Fiscal Research. We ran a report pulling information from Beacon on the exempt designations. I assume the question pertains only to the cabinet-level agencies, not specifically the Council of State that's being amended here. So there are, according to the report, 1,402 positions designated as exempt. I will note that information will contain some positions that are statutorily exempt in other areas. So, for example, Clean Water Management Trust Fund specifically says that those positions are designated exempt, so if you back those out, it will be slightly less than that amount, but it should be somewhere in that ballpark.
Follow-up, Mr. Chairman.
Axon.
Thank you for that. That's the exact number I was looking for. Can you tell me how many positions were designated as exempt on January 1st, 2013?
I do not currently have that information available, but perhaps our research staff could tell us what the statute previously said, if the chair would like to delegate.
Do apologize. We have staff pretty much bouncing around the halls of this hallowed institution today. So, Rep. I'm going to ask you once again, you saw she just came in, if you would ask the question again. Thank you, Representative.
I was asking a question to staff as to if we know what the number of positions that were designated as exempt as of January 1st, 2013.
We have dueling staff hands going up, so unless you want to arm wrestle for it, I'm going to, y'all make like hand motion to each other to figure out which one's going to actually answer this question.
Mr. Chair, would you please recognize Teresa Matula on our staff?
Thank you for yielding. Please answer the question. Thank you.
Good morning. So to sort of give you a history, in 2012, we had 100 or a maximum of 105, and those were policymaking, and then we had not to exceed 30 in exempt managerial. In 2013, we moved, and then we moved to 1,000. In 2013, we moved from 1,000 to 1,500. That sort of gives you the recent history.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Hearing no other questions, but hearing a little bit of feedback, we'll move on to the amendments. I'm currently being made aware, I'm in possession of one amendment that I'm aware of. There's two now. Okay, we have two. The first one I have in front of me is an amendment from Representative Stamm. I'm going to ask that Sergeant Arms to go ahead and distribute that to the committee members. I'm sorry, the amendment we're looking at here is H17ARQ-2, version 2. Well, Representative Stamm is recognized to bring forth an amendment.
Yes, DPI has about 1,200 employees. About roughly a half a dozen are assigned to staff the state board itself. And this makes clear that the state board, that staff of a half a dozen or so, I don't know the exact number, that they're controlled, supervised, hired, fired by the State Board of Education itself. It's sort of like Representative Carney, you have an LA, perhaps, and you hire, fire, and supervise. And if the Speaker of the House was in charge of hiring your LA, it might be a problem.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Lewis.
The sponsors have no objection.
Any questions on the amendment? Seeing none, move for a vote. Those in favor of the amendment will signify by saying aye.
Mr. Chairman. I have my hand up.
I'm sorry, Representative Jackson. Yes, sir, Representative Jackson.
This is, before we take a vote, this is the point in the meeting that, based on my objection yesterday to the session, I've been advised that I need to make a continuing objection to taking any further action during this session. And so, for myself and I think the other Democrats on this committee, we would object to these proceedings and would just ask that that be noted for the record.
Thank you. Noted. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Thank you, Representative Stamm. I understand there's another amendment.
I have two more. I think copies are made of one and the copies are being made of the other.
You've been busy, haven't you, Representative?
I woke up early. I got a lot to do before I leave this place. I have a half a dozen more the rest of the day.
Thank you. Okay, the amendment that's being passed out now should be H17 or H17-ARI-2, version 1. Once again, that's H17-ARI-2, version 1. Has everyone received a copy? Not quite yet. Okay. I'm going with the assumption it has been distributed now, and yep. Representative Sain, it's your amendment, and I'll give you time to speak on it.
Mr. Chairman, I believe it should be Representative Stamm.
Yes, I signed it. I signed it.
Okay. I agree with the Representative amendment, Mr. Chairman, but it's Representative Stam's amendment.
Excellent. Representative Stam.
This transfers the Center for Safer Schools from DPS to DPI. I understand it's agreeable to both departments, but it better aligns with DPI. This task force was formed a few years ago after one of the school tragedies, and I'm sorry, I just forget which one it was. One of the mass shootings.
Sandy Hook, perhaps.
Yeah, I think that's right. And what it deals with is school climate and discipline, mental health, serving students with special needs. They've done a lot of training videos, but really it's student-oriented, so it aligns better with DPI.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Lewis.
The sponsors have no objection.
Any questions on the amendment? Representative Reeves.
I just wanted to make sure that I'm understanding correctly. So the task force presently is in existence.
Correct.
That we're just moving it over to DPI.
Correct.
Okay.
Thank you, Representative. Any further questions? Seeing none, we'll move to a vote. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Those opposed, no. Ayes have it. Amendment passes.
Do I have one more? Do I have any more amendments?
It's a very technical one, Mr. Chairman. You could probably read that one. And.
But where would be the fun in that, Representative Stam, to hear your commentary? The next amendment is being distributed as we speak, which is what I thought I just read, but we'll say it's H17-ATC-2 version 1. Again, it's H17-ATC-2 version 1. It appears that everyone's had time to at least review it. Representative Stam, speak on the amendment.
Deletes an appointment of a non-voting member to the advisory board on charter schools, and the chair whose non-voting member appointment is being taken away, I'm told, doesn't object to this at all.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Lewis.
Sponsors have no objection.
Thank you very much. Any questions on the amendment? Seeing none, we'll move to a vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. Ayes have it. Amendment passes. Any other amendments? I'm sorry, there is or is not?
Mr. Speaker, I have an amendment. Mr. Chair, I have an amendment.
Thank you, Representative. I'm going to assume, where is Representative Stevens? The amendment you're offering, is it H17-ARO-2 version 2?
That's correct.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it's being distributed to you now. You should have H17-ARO-2 version 1 from Representative Stevens.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This amendment
is... Hang on 1 second, Representative. Let everybody get it in their hands. Representative Stevens, you have the floor. Speak on your amendment.
It is an effort to simply clarify the procedure we intended in this provision, and I would defer any other questions to Representative Bryan, who I worked with.
Thank you very much. Any questions on the amendment?
Sponsor.
I'm sorry.
Sponsors are in favor of this amendment.
Thank you. Seeing no questions, we'll move to the vote. All those signify by saying in favor, signify by saying aye. Aye. Those opposed, no. Ayes have it. Amendment passes. Just for convenience, those of you members that are on appropriations, they're supposed to be in a full appropriations meeting in this room at, I'm told, 11:30. I don't know that that official acknowledgement has been sent out yet, but it'd probably be forthcoming. Okay, our first speaker, and I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing, it appears to be Brian Fitzsimmons. Is that correct? Thank you, Brian. And Sergeant Arnold, would you show him how the microphone works? And Brian, I'm going to ask if you give us your name.
Yes, sir.
For the record. Thank you.
My name is Brian Fitzsimmons, and I am a resident of Wake County. I stand here today in the People's House to conduct the people's business amongst the people of North Carolina. And I watch the work that all of you do and the service that you all give. I continue to be in awe and thankful for all of the work that you do. What is being done now, though, amongst a veil of secrecy is wrong, and how it is being done is wrong. This should not be done this way. All of our citizens in North Carolina should be given the opportunity to review and read and talk and learn about these bills before this body, the people's body. All of these things we're discussing currently, the Department of Public Instruction, certainly it wasn't an issue when we had a Democratic leader of the Department of Public Instruction. Now that we have elected a Republican leader of the Department of Public Instruction, all of a sudden we are now in a position where we need to go back to where it was in the mid-90s. What is being done now is wrong. This is not the way good and reasonable and honest people govern. Whatever was done in the past, I've only been here in North Carolina for 8 years. I wasn't around for anything that happened in the past. Whatever was done in the past is in the past. What is being done now is wrong. What was done then is wrong. No matter how you slice it, this is wrong. We need to stop using this body as a means for our own desire to achieve greater power. This is wrong. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Thank you for your comments, Mr. Fitzsimmons, and thank you for participating in the process. The next speaker, Michael, I think it's Michael. Michael Byrne, is that correct?
Yes, thank you.
Are you a doctor, Michael?
Oh, no, I'm just an attorney.
You write like one, I was going to suggest. So.
I'm in the
lectern, sir. Please state your name and your business, sir.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Michael Byrne. Thank you for letting me speak today. I'm an attorney. My practice is restricted to personnel law. And I'm here to speak merely on Section 7, which deals with exempt designations. A few years ago, when the exempt designations were increased to 1,500, there was an express need for flexibility, sound personnel management, all of which are laudable things. Now, however, we see a proposal to turn it back to 300. Now, that is not only obviously a huge diminution, but it goes down from 500 exempt positions, which is where we were in 2012. Now, I'm not here to represent any group or party. That's above my pay grade. I'm not smart enough to be involved in that. But I will say that for principles of sound personnel administration, whether the person is a Democrat or Republican, the governor needs sufficient people who report to him or to her to implement his or her particular agenda. 300 is simply not enough to do that within the principles of sound personnel administration. I'd respectfully submit that 600 is a more reasonable number. 1,500 was frankly too many. You had people who had not been exempt forever who were suddenly serving at the pleasure of the governor, and that honestly was not a good idea. The second point is with the Office of State Human Resources. The bill essentially prevents the governor from designating anyone in OSHR, which is the former Office of State Personnel, exempt. One of the reforms that Governor McCrory helped get enacted in 2013 was that the Office of State Human Resources reports directly to the governor. if this change is made, then the governor, whoever he or she may be, is in the position of not being able to appoint the head of the very agency that does all personnel rules and regulations in North Carolina. I think that presents a separation of problems that powers the issue. Finally, the provision that anyone who's been exempt in the last 12 months becomes a permanent state employee. Again, sound personnel administration, I would question the wisdom of making someone who's been solely as a political appointee suddenly a permanent state employee when they were hired under a completely set of different circumstances and with a completely different set of goals. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Byrne. Thank you for participating in the process. I did let you go over a little bit there to try to get you to finish your comments. Thank you. Our next speaker, and I believe the last one, is Artis. Is that correct? Artis?
Yes.
Watkins.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, members of the committee.
Please state your name.
Artis Watkins. I am Government Relations Director for the State Employees Association of North Carolina. In the interest of the limited time you have to consider all the matters before you today, I will only address one portion of this bill, and it's one Mr. Byrne just alluded to. The Office of State Human Resources currently is something that the sitting governor, and it has always been something the sitting governor could appoint. It would therefore be an exempt position. This bill would take away the exemption from that position, and I think would be terrible precedent and would have disastrous consequences for employees. It is imperative that the governor running this state and running the state government be able to have their own HR professional in charge of the Office of State Human Resources. Employees rely on you as a body to give the Office of State Human Resources parameters, but the person running it, the employees rely on the governor to appoint and to appoint someone with wisdom, and they can hold that governor accountable. If the governor appoints someone who does bad things, that governor has to run again for election and will be held accountable for the actions of their employees. Please, I need you to consider fixing that portion of the bill and making the Office of State Human Resources exempt like it has always been. You know, there's something I've never talked about this, but today seems like a pretty good time to go ahead and talk about it, and I'll be quick. I have sat in a meeting within the last year with Office of State Human Resources personnel who told me we own the state employees. Now, think about that for a minute. If you want to know how important an agency this is, you can't have anybody who has the mentality that they own the state employees. Nobody owns anybody in this state and not in this country. Please address this issue. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for speaking on the process. Representative Lewis, you have the floor.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask Ms. Karen Cochran Brown of our staff to answer a couple of technical questions for me?
Absolutely. Representative Lewis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Cochran Brown, does the governor retain the right to appoint the head of his budget office?
Yes, sir, I believe that he does.
Thank you. Does the governor retain the right to appoint the head of the human resource group that we've talked about?
Yes, sir. I feel more confident about that. I've looked up the statute. GS-126-3 specifically says that the director shall serve at the pleasure of the governor.
Thank you, ma'am. I don't have any other questions, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Hearing no other questions and seeing no other questions,
I'll be recognized for a motion.
Representative Lewis, you're recognized.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the amendments that were offered and adopted for House Bill 17 be incorporated and rolled into a new committee substitute for House Bill 17, and that that committee substitute be given a favorable report, unfavorable as to the original bill.
Members of the committee, you've heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The motion passes, and committee is in recess until call of the chair.